Thank you to all of you for rocking with us all season long. And now as we barrel into the off season, you know, this has brought us his time to shine. So all the draft coverage, all the free agency coverage, and right now the coaching search and where we go here on the heels of firing Matt Eberflus and what we do at the defensive coordinator spot. Broadus, what would you like to see here? I mean, do you have names in mind? I don't know if you have just names that you personally like or names that you think they are going to like, but would love to get your thoughts on this whole search.
Yeah, I think that, you know, and I'm going to, there's names that we all like. Are those names obtainable? We'll see. Was talking to a coach in the league yesterday, a defensive coordinator, and he was kind of filling me in on, you know, on say Gannon at Arizona. Not the biggest fan of Jonathan Gannon at Arizona. You know, he felt like that maybe if you watch the history of Jonathan Gannon, that he did not get better as a coach. Felt like that he was really kind of in over his head as the head coach there in Arizona. As a defensive coordinator, you know, there was some talk about him and, you know, some places that he had been, you know, has he gotten better as a coach? And there's this coach felt that, nah, he really hasn't. So it kind of made me pause a little bit about a Jonathan Gannon. Of course, we could talk about another interesting name is, and Bobby Belts brought this one up, is Gus Bradley. Out in San Francisco. He's the assistant head coach. He's a guy that not a lot of folks have talked about. I would keep an eye on him. I'd also keep an eye on Jeff Ulbrich from the Atlanta Falcons. And there's another coach that's with him that's the defensive passing game coordinator named Mike Rutenberg. And Rutenberg is one of these young and upcoming coaches that people seem to kind of are now putting on the radar. Is there a possibility that you could see Ulbrich and Rutenberg come? If you know there's going to be something within the organization, if Shoddy, in fact, is the lead dog in the sled making this coaching hire or helping with the coaching hire, he is probably going to lean on a couple of guys. He's probably going to lean on Aaron Whitecotton for his knowledge of, you know, with that group that was in Atlanta that, you know, was with the Jets. Maybe that's something that he's going to push for. And then you mentioned Clayton Adams. Is he going to try and push for Gannon? Again, on the Gannon side of things, you know, I just one man's opinion didn't seem very much like the type of hire that would that he was saying would be a huge difference maker, and that's just again one man's opinion. So, but you could think about Brian Flores. I know Brian Flores is going to try and get a head coaching job. The Las Vegas Raiders seem to be the one team that's in the kind of in the thick of this. You got Spytek there. You've got Brady there. You know, some familiarity with Brian Flores. The Raiders need an element of toughness to their game. You know, they need a guy that's going to, you know, maybe they thought that they were going to get that with Antonio Pierce, you know, when he was hired. But yeah, with now Brady in charge, look for some type of a New England connection there. And Flores would fit that bill. You also, I think, have to think about, and I mentioned this earlier too, I think there's a kind of a looking at some of the guys that have maybe Dan Quinn ties. And I say that because Brian Schottenheimer became very fond of working with Brian Schottenheimer, Dan Quinn and Brian Schottenheimer, when Brian was doing the defensive stuff. If you remember, he was helping out. He was just on staff. He wasn't doing anything with the offense. He was doing help with the defense and in weekly breakdowns, and he gained a lot of respect for working with and being around Dan Quinn. So keep an eye on anybody who has a Dan Quinn tie to him, and that maybe is a guy that Brian Schottenheimer, maybe Dan Quinn says on behalf, hey, would you consider this guy, or maybe he's providing him some names to look at, but. You know, Jim Schwartz is another guy. I did talk to the same coordinator in the league. And he told me, he's like, listen, I have the utmost respect for Jim Schwartz. Jim Schwartz will play man coverage. He'll press you. He'll blitz you. He has an attacking style, the way he calls defenses. He's a guy that's probably not interested in being in a head coach anymore. He's more of like, hey, I want to be a defensive coordinator. But he is getting it sounds like he's going to get a sniff to interview for the job in Cleveland. I'll be fascinated to see if he gets it. Maybe this is where the Browns are looking at to maybe talk to him and like, listen, we love you. We want you around. Whoever the next coach is, we want you here. Maybe they're doing a little bit more recruiting than trying to give him that job. So, but that's one to keep an eye on. We'll see what happens with Raheem Morris. I'm the same coach again, not overly positive about Raheem Morris and you know what he could bring, but we'll see. Again, this coach was very, very critical of several of these coordinators. Again, one man's opinion, but the one that he seemed to really, really like was the Jim Schwartz one. So we'll see. But there's several candidates out there that, and with different ties to maybe some coaches and stuff, or the coaching tree that Brian Schottenheimer wants to maybe grab a guy or two from.
Yeah, and to piggyback off of that, I know Albert Breer in his Monday Morning Quarterback article, he says he expects the Cowboys to move fast and looking at candidates here, which is nice. He says, looking at Brian Schottenheimer's background, he says it'd be easy to look at guys who've worked with Dan Quinn as fits.
Yeah.
Schottenheimer
yeah.
and Quinn forced a strong relationship on McCarthy's staff to the point
That's
where Quinn tried to bring Schottenheimer to Washington with him. And he says Jeff Ulbrich and Raheem Morris could be potential candidates who have ties to Quinn.
Yeah.
And then he also mentioned Brian Flores. And then the dark horse candidate was old Matt Patricia, the Ohio mm-hmm. State defensive coordinator.
Yeah, you brought that up earlier. And, you know, could he look outside? We've seen a very successful hire in with the Chargers with Jesse Minter. Has done a really nice job. A lot of respect for the things that he's done. And that was, you know, a guy who came with Harbaugh from Michigan. So Matt Patricia has an extensive background. I did ask this particular defensive coordinator friend of mine that about Matt Patricia, and he has some respect for Matt Patricia, you know, and what he was able to do. He thinks he's a guy that's a really good teacher. He thinks he's got some really good scheme ideas, and the way that he kind of can fit whatever you have talent-wise. We've seen what he's done at Ohio State. As you mentioned, this is my time of year to shine. I feel like I've looked at 5, 6 potential first or second round picks already, you know, there at Ohio State. And, you know, with Ohio State now being out of the playoffs and stuff like that, you know, then there's the opportunity to kind of reach out and interview him if you like. So I'm all for talking to all these guys, Eric, and I would like to know if I was Jerry and Stevens sitting in on those interviews with Shoddy, I would like to know whether we hire a guy or not, what he thinks of our defense. I want to see if someone's really honest about the assessment. That's where I would be. I wouldn't take it personally that we, you know, built a defense that was historically bad. I would take it as an opportunity to learn and pick someone's brain why we were historically bad. Keep an open mind and like, okay, we knew we made mistakes, but somebody from the outside, what did you think when you look at our defense? What do you think are the most glaring things? And I know people out who are listening to our program are like, damn, Bros, it's pretty obvious. But I'd like for a coach to come in who's trying to get the defensive coordinator's job to explain really where the biggest issues were. And I think that's a good learning tool for the Cowboys to try and take advantage.
Yeah, and you know, if you're going into the college ranks, and I understand the Patricia stuff, I do, but man, to be honest with you, if you're looking at a defense that pops off the screen with what they're doing right now, and they're the best team in the country, it's the Indiana Hoosiers. Mm-hmm. And Cignetti's got a hell of a staff. Bryant Haynes is the name of his defensive coordinator. I mean, just watch Indiana football, and you can see all the different things they're doing, simulated pressures, disguising coverages, and he's not doing it with a bunch of top 10 or first round picks. Like Patricia was given the keys to the Lamborghini, and it's Downs and it's Styles and it's Reese, and it's a bunch of first round talent NFL players. Whereas the Indiana Hoosiers, we're looking at mock drafts. How many Hoosiers guys are you looking at? Probably not a ton, but they're a damn good football team. Cignetti is dominant right now as a head coach, and he knows what he's doing putting a staff together. So just watch Indiana and tell me you don't like what they're doing. And if I'm interviewing a college defensive coordinator right now, and you mentioned Minter, I think Mike McDonald was also in Michigan, at Michigan before going to Baltimore, and then now he's the head guy in Seattle, and their defense is awesome. You have Jeff Hafley, who came from the college ranks, now coordinating the Packers defense. They've done a pretty nice job. So I'm certainly open to that. And if I could hand pick a college guy to interview, I think Bryant Haynes, the defensive coordinator of Indiana, would be at the top of that list. He's actually come out and said recently, like, I don't have a burning desire to be a head coach right now. He mentioned the grass isn't always greener thing. So I don't even know how interested he would be.
Well,
because they have such a good thing going on in Indiana. But if I'm Brian Schottenheimer and I'm looking in the college ranks, how can you not look at that Indiana defense and say, man, I'd like to get a piece of that?
Yeah, he has an interesting coaching background. He started off in coaching. He was a Mac, you know, he was a all Mac performer at Ball State in the late 2000s. Well, actually, excuse me, 2000, say late 2000s, 2008. He was an all Mac linebacker, and you know, then he got in. He was like strength and conditioning guy. He got with Cignetti at, I think it's Indiana, University of Pennsylvania, IUP. I think it's where he got his start there. And kind of, you know, he's been at places that you would say are not traditionally football powers. IUP, Elon was another opportunity. And then he really got his big break coaching at James Madison. And him and Cignetti went on a pretty epic run. While they were together at James Madison, and then he got the job at Indiana. So he was a graduate assistant at Ohio State back in the day. If you want to look at just like where he's been, yeah, that would be the place where you'd say, oh, Ohio State, great. But his upbringing has been really on a smaller level, but it's been to the level where the rise has been, you know, has been pretty good. And yeah, if you want to talk to him, I would be interested. Just so I could say, here's a guy that didn't come from he's not have the coaching background of being at Florida, then at Georgia, then, you know, that kind of thing. It's been a smaller programs, but as he's come along the way, and you mentioned this, he's become highly respected what he's been able to do in Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, just watch it, man. I mean, Ty Simpson was he was in the pressure cooker. He didn't know he was in the blender. He didn't know what was going on. And they've done it all season long. They really have. I mean, Bryant Haynes he's a real type of coordinator that's giving you a schematic advantage right there. It's not just, hey, I got a bunch of first round picks. Yeah. Let's go out and dominate, boys. Here we go. He's taken a bunch of kind of no-name dudes on that Indiana defense. And they are, I mean, dude, they are giving up. You get into the red zone versus Indiana, which is tough to do. You're going to score a touchdown one out of every four times. That's what's going to happen to you. I think the world of that guy. So if you're going the college route, that would be the route I would want to go to. You mentioned Jim Schwartz. He's a guy with just tons of skins on the wall. He's done it for years. And I just love the aggressive, violent nature in which he coaches and his team plays. And I think we all want a little bit more man coverage here. That's one of the things that I'm looking at as I'm trying to like decipher which coaches.
How about we need some better man players though, too, in the secondary. That would probably help as well.
For sure. No question. Yeah. No question. But as you start looking around the league of defenses that you would like to maybe take a piece from, Jim Schwartz is going to be a guy that I like. Now, Jim Leonard, of course, the passing game coordinator, assistant head coach with the Broncos. If their defensive coordinator, Vance Joseph, gets a head coaching job, which he's being interviewed for a bunch, then I would imagine Jim Leonard just gets promoted to defensive coordinator in Denver.
Yeah.
So that could go away from you. If you're hoping for Jim Leonard, then you're hoping Vance Joseph does not get a head coaching gig here. But he would be a guy you like. You like what Denver's got going on. He's got some ties to Shoddy. I look at Seattle Seahawks. We mentioned Mike McDonald and the things that they got going on right there. I know that Nick Harris put a name out there, not a household name. The passing game coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks is Carl Scott. Okay, I'm not super familiar with this guy, but he is a little bit more of a hidden gem, I would say. And when you look at what the Seahawks do, Mike McDonald, they specialize in the simulated pressure, which is where it's like, okay, we got 5, 6, 7 guys around the line of scrimmage, but we're only going to rush 4. You just don't know which of the 4 are coming. And you get free rushers that way beautifully. Also, which defenses are disguising coverages? The disguising coverages is a big thing. And he's their passing game coordinator, so he's got a lot of fingerprints on the secondary and the way they do their coverage. Seattle's 4th in the league this season when it comes to disguising coverages. Okay, so those are going to be some things that you like there. Now, they don't run a bunch of man, so that would be one of the things you have to consider a little bit. But in terms of simulated pressure and disguising coverages, I think this guy, Carl Scott, 100% deserves an interview here.
Yeah, you know, Carl Scott is actually, he's from Texas. And so, you know, you look at his background, though, he's as we've talked about, you know, with our Indiana coach, he's got a little bit of a different background in his route. The thing that you have to be super impressed for about him was that he was he coached at Alabama for 3 years under Saban is what he did. And him and Pete Golden, who's currently the head coach at Mississippi. And you talk about a background. He coached the corners. To be a secondary coach at Alabama is a nightmare. And I say that with all respect because Nick Saban is coaching the secondary too. And I'll be interested to see with Carl Scott, you know, maybe you need to reach out. I mean, he was with the Minnesota Vikings with Mike Zimmer. So you got a little bit of an understanding of what kind of guy. Zimmer ain't easy. Zimmer, a former secondary coach. This guy worked with two guys that know defense. When you talk about Saban, when you talk about Mike Zimmer, you know, and matter of fact, he probably got coached harder than the players. I'm sure he got MF'd a lot for stuff that was going on, but probably made him a better coach, probably made him a tougher coach. But yeah, Carl Scott was part of that 2020 national championship team at Alabama. And I guarantee you, he knows what a great player looks like. And he's been coached hard himself. He doesn't have the experience as a coordinator per se, but if you look at just his background and being a 40-year-old guy, you know, I'm sure that you could probably get an idea of enthusiasm, smart guy, tough guy, as well. So that's a pretty good background to have to be coming from to maybe be considered for a defensive coordinator's job.
That's beautiful. I mean, I love him even more now. I mean, that is absolutely a guy.
He's a Texas guy. He did coach at Texas Tech too, Louisiana Tech. I was looking at his stuff. But working with Zimmer, working with Nick Saban, you couldn't get a better education on what you need to do scheme-wise than those two.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a home run. And with Nick Harris putting his name in the article in the Star Telegram, he's not just farting that name out there. Okay. That is good news. That is good news. And yeah, if Saban trusts you to coach the secondary and Zimmer and Mike McDonald, what else do you really need to know about this guy? That seems like a no-brainer guy you want to bring in here. And again, if this was the Joneses only taking the reins on this particular hire, I don't even think he gets a sniff. But because Shoddy is maybe going to be manning some of these controls here, I think that there's a real opportunity for that. And he would be very high on my list based on everything that we've talked about here. And then one more name, one more hidden gem sort of name here that I've come across, and it goes back to when we were studying the Chiefs for that Thanksgiving game. There was a name that I read a couple of times, Dave Merritt. I don't know how familiar you are with this guy, but Dave Merritt is a Steve Spagnuolo protege. He's been with him quite a bit. He was a linebacker in the early 90s, played in the NFL for a few years, coached with Herm Edwards and the Jets, and then he was with the Giants for both their Super Bowls.
When
Spagnuolo was the defensive coordinator, he was there, and he's the Chiefs' defensive backs coach. So he's been with Spags in New York with the Giants, winning Super Bowls. Same thing in Kansas City with Spags, coaching the DBs and also winning Super Bowls. And we got a lot of love and respect for the way Spags coaches. And this is a guy who's been with him for many years, so he probably looks at football the exact same way. You want more man coverage. 11th in the league this year in man coverage rate were the Kansas City Chiefs. Also, when it comes to disguising coverages, again, he's their DB coach. They disguise coverages at the 8th highest rate in the NFL. And this is a guy who's been around for a long time. You know the type of blitzing that Spags will do, so I think he's probably got that up his sleeve as well. So Dave Merritt, DB coach in Kansas City, he's the other hidden gem coach. I think it's Carl Scott and Dave Merritt right now. Shoddy, get these guys on the phone.
Yeah, with Dave Merritt's background, it's really kind of interesting that, as you mentioned, with he was a Spags guy. He was a player in the league. He then turned into where he became a coach. He actually went to – his first job was at Virginia Military, which is VMI, and he was the defensive line coach at VMI. And I'm going to walk you through something that I think is interesting because it's very much very similar to the path that a guy like Andy Reid took. And I say this because, you know, Merritt starts off as a defensive line coach. He goes from VMI to the New York Jets. And then he's a linebackers coach. So he's like a defensive assistant linebacker coach. So he's at the Jets for a couple of years. So he's now coached defensive line. He's coached linebackers. Well, then he goes from the Jets to the Giants as a defensive assistant, and then they put him in the secondary. So now he's coached on all three levels of the defense. And I say this because Andy Reid did the same thing in Green Bay. Andy Reid was a tight ends, tackles coach, so he understood the offensive line play. Then he became quarterback coach with the Packers. Okay, then what happened then? He was able to marry protections and routes with the offensive line and the quarterback and the skill guys. So now you have a guy that's kind of understands it on both levels, not just, you know, a guy that understands it this way. He understands it like, okay, if I'm going to throw routes, I need to have protection. So he's able to marry protection. Well, here, you know, with Merritt, he's in a situation coaching defensive line, coaching linebackers, and now coaching secondary at a very, very high level there with Kansas City. You mentioned the Super Bowls with the Giants. That was a Tom Coughlin staff. You know, I could not imagine working for a guy. Well, not imagine. I did work for Tom Coughlin. And, you know, and
yeah, you
at
did.
At the time, you know, Tom Coughlin, not a great guy to work for. The Giants, still tough, but still a little bit more understanding of you know, the situation and, you know, your personnel and people and all that. You know, but he was a tough coach. He was tough on his coaches. So here you have a guy, you know, Andy's very demanding of his coaches as well. So that's a good background. Spags demanding of his coaches. You know, that's another good background. So yeah, I think that, to me, if you're talking about just names, you know, with Merritt and Scott and guys like that, yeah, they're people that might not be household names, but here we are right now with, you know, teams around the league, coaches around the league respecting guys that are these types of players or these types of coaches. Excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is why you listen to the Love of the Star podcast. We're going to give you some hidden gem names that are not floating around on ESPN right now and brought us with the 411 on all of these guys, making me feel even better. Carl Scott, Dave Merritt, please, Shoddy, give these guys a ring, get them into the Star, and let's pick their brain a little bit, because I love the idea of that instead of maybe recycling some of just the the old names that have been around forever. They've failed a million times. Let's get some up and coming super beasts up in here and change the landscape of this Cowboys defense. All right, you're listening to the Love of the Star podcast. Love of the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast, presented by the On Time Experts. They are locally trusted with years of experience serving the community, the official AC heating and plumbing partner of Love of the Star, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Dallas Stars. Transparent pricing, no surprise add-ons or hidden fees. Friendly background check technicians you'll feel comfortable having in your home. I guarantee you that. And it's 100% satisfaction guarantee. No excuses, no exceptions. Same day or you don't pay policy for certain repairs. Visit the ontimeexperts.com. Click the book now button. Everything backed by their stay warm guarantee all winter long.